Well, good evening, everybody. Welcome to Extended Hands of God Highway Ministries. I'm Skip Etheridge. Tonight we have Brother Alan Smith from down in Hasty, Arkansas, and he's shares with us up here. Always look forward to having him and hearing what the Lord has laid on his heart. And we're going to open with a song tonight, and after that song, it'll be all yours, Brother Alan. This is one of my favorite songs. It's called "The Unseen Hand" by Marty Stewart.
an unseen hand. Thank you, Jesus. That unseen hand, something that has been long before anything that was seen, before anything that was made. He was still there. Thank you, Jesus. I'd like to read several verses tonight. I feel like I should preach on Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 5. I'm going to read down to about 20, and we're going to skip down a few verses after that. But Luke chapter 1, verse 5, there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abiah. And his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren. And they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right-hand side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. Thy wife Elizabeth shall bear a son, and thou shalt call his name John, and thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go forth before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and to the disobedience to the wisdom of the just, and to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zacharias said unto the angel, Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well stricken in years. And the angel answered and said unto him, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God, and I am sent to speak unto thee, and to show these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb, and not able to speak, until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. Now, verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel of the Lord came unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of David his father. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then Mary said unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath conceived a son in her old age, and it is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Father, in the name of Jesus, move in this word tonight and quicken us in you. Help us, O God, that our faith be strengthened and our hearts and minds be full of the power of life with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Here we have the angel Gabriel coming and talking to two different people. One was Zachariah. He was a priest in the temple. He ministered to the Lord continually before God. It was his whole life's work to be a priest in the house of God. And we have Mary, the little virgin, who she was of the lineage of the high priest of Aaron. But, and I think it's important to note right here that's how Jesus, the priesthood flowed through to Jesus through the blood lineage of Aaron, is through Mary and her relationship through Aaron and the descendants there. But here, Mary, she heard this salutation, and she said, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? The angel answered her, said, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall become the Son of God. The angel said to her, For with God nothing shall be impossible. There's quite a contrast between these two questions and the people that asked them. You know, of the same angel, this angel stands in the presence of God Almighty. He, in other words, has been continually there since his creation. That's his position. He comes to earth and ministers, but his position is to stand in the very presence of God Almighty. He came and he spoke to Zechariah. Zechariah said, Wherewith shall these things be? Wherewith shall they be? Mary said, How shall these things be? They both ask questions, but they come from two different positions. Now, number one, Zacharias and his wife, they were just before God. They were not sinners. They were not reprobates. The scripture says they were just before God, doing things right before him. They were there in the course where they supposed to be. However, out of his heart sprang this unbelief. Because of this unbelief, the angel said he would be smitten and not able to speak until these things were fulfilled because they believed not his sayings. That heart of unbelief brought that question. Not a heart of belief as Mary had. Mary wanted to know how this was happening. How could she do this? What did she need to do to submit to God to let this to happen? You know, in her natural mind, she thought, I don't know a man. This, you know, how shall this be? What shall go on? Her question was out of pure, honest inquisitiveness before God. And there's nothing wrong with that. When you look back in the Old Testament, you find Gideon there. He wanted to know how it was possible. There, if you read Judges 6:16, he says that, How shall God use me, the least in the house of Israel? And I am the least in my father's house. How shall he use me? But the angel called him a mighty man of valor. And he went and he set forth three fleeces before the Lord, and the Lord answered every one of them and did not rebuke him. His question from his heart was one of inquisitiveness, not of God's power, but that how would God do this through me? Again with Mary, how will God do this through me? How is it? I am the weak link here. On the other hand, Zechariah, his question was in unbelief. This can't happen. I'm old. My wife is past the time and she's barren. This can't happen, even though he knew from a little child about Abraham and Sarah. Sarah was 99 years old when she gave birth to her first child. barren all the way up to that point. Really something else how this could happen. That Zechariah would say, wherewith shall we know this? The angel said to him, even before he said this, thy prayer's been answered. Zechariah had prayed for this and prayed for this, and when it come to pass here before him, an angel from the very presence of God announcing a mighty prophet that shall lead people to the highest, to the most high, hallelujah, that he did not believe that it would happen. I mean, it wasn't because he was a sinful man. Wasn't because he was a reprobate. Wasn't because he didn't know the scripture. Wasn't because he didn't pray. Wasn't because of any of these things. It was because of unbelief in his heart. That heart was revealed before God, and it made barren the open spot inside of him for the faithlessness that he had there. Now, I need to be careful here and not condemn Zacharias too far, because the only one that really knows our heart is God Almighty. He stood before God, ministered properly, but there came a day when his deepest expectation was to be revealed, and he doubted. It cost him. It cost him his speech for all through the time of his wife's pregnancy and his son's birth. Only on the eighth day of his birth was he able to speak again, when he confirmed that his name should be called John. Then his tongue was loose and he magnified God and prophesied of this little baby. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, that the word of God is quick and powerful. It is a divider of the joints and marrow and the thoughts and the intents of the heart. That heart is revealed by the word of God. It cuts it asunder, as it says there in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. It shows what our questioning is about, and it shows what we are before God. As Mary asked this question before the angel, she was not doubting him. She was doubting her ability and what she should do. She was prepared and happy and ready to do something that the angel had led her to believe she should do. She understood when he spoke to her that this salutation was not normal. She pondered that in her heart. As you find time and again where Mary ponders again of the things that's going on with the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, to have such a heart that we would search deeply inside of us about the things of God and about the things of ourselves. When Paul said examine ourselves, he didn't mean to just look around for a second and see if we think that we're Christian. He meant to deeply consider every thought of our heart and our action. What drives it? What's there? What's the cause of it? What makes us do what we do? What makes us say what we say? What causes us to react like we react? What are these things that are going on? Oh, the sinful nature inside of us will cause us to react sinfully, but the right nature inside of us will cause us to glorify, obey, and reach out to God and say, how shall we do these things? How shall we do? And when he shows us, then we'll say, then we'll say like Mary, the handmaid of the Lord, the handmaid of the Lord. Oh, let it be done inside of us, that we come to the place that we're yielding, fully obedient before him as he speaks to us through his word and through his visions, knowledge, power, and might. You know, old Mary was not in poor company with her question. Moses, he said, Exodus chapter 3 and verse 11, said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, that I should bring forth the children of Israel? It wasn't a question of whether God was going to do it or whether God could do it, but who was he going to use? How could it be me? Moses was saying, the fault is within me. The failure is within me. The lack of power is within me. The lack of ability is within me. But God spoke to him and told him that he'd be with him. What a great thing to think that God's going to be with you. Oh, mighty God. With God, as the angel Gabriel said, with God all things are possible. He went on to fulfill God's will and delivered the children of Israel with mighty signs and wonders that had never been seen before, nor had ever been worked after. Thank God. That Moses, that same Moses that delivered them all and that they considered the hero of all of Israel, he was the one that questioned, who am I to be the one to bring this forth? Oh, thank God forevermore. Jeremiah asked the question. He said, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. I'm just a child. I cannot speak of these things. He looked on his own ability and said that he cannot do it. But the Lord was with him. The Lord put the word into his heart and his mind. Later on, he said, ah, thou hast deceived me. I will speak of thee no more. But he could not refrain. For the word of the Lord was like him, like inside of him, like a fire shut up in his bones, is what he said. It broke forth and he couldn't hold back. Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet. As you read through there, you can feel the care and brokenheartedness of Jeremiah for his people and for the Lord God's word. You can see it all the way through. They thought they'd kill him, but they couldn't get him done. They thought they'd put him in the dungeon and he starved to death, but he lived anyway. And when Israel was taken over by the Assyrian army, he was greatly favored, and he received high honors after the word of the Lord was fulfilled. I'm telling you, church, when the Lord comes to get us, we're going to stand as kings and priests forever and evermore. We're going to reign with him on the right hand of God through Jesus Christ. We're going to be kings and priests unto our God forever and evermore. We're going to wear a crown that will never fade away. Sin will never come again. Righteousness will never falter. All of the enemy will be destroyed. We'll look narrowly upon them that are in the lake of fire, and those the one that despise the commandments of God, and will rejoice in God's presence forevermore through the power of faith and through his omnipotent working. Not our own ability, not our own power, not our own strength, but that God's put inside of us. Believe God tonight. Hold on to him. Stay steadfast. What he said will come to pass, not because of who we are, but because who he is, who he is, who he is with us. I'm telling you, church, that the power of God inside of one individual can do more than all the generations of the earth combined and all the powers of the universe given with it. Nothing can withhold God's hand. Nothing can hold him back. But he peacefully and gently works in our lives to whisper to us the things, the deep things of God, and to guide us further and further into his truth in all knowledge and power and righteousness and might. Here you have the Son of God coming to a little virgin, unknown of men round about her, completely unknown, almost forsaken by her espoused husband, except God stepped in with a dream. The devil tried to kill him after his birth, but couldn't get it done. Mary walked with him. At 12 years old, she lost him, went back to find him. He was subject to her up until his baptism in the River Jordan. Then she went along and saw the miracles they wrought, things that she never could have imagined she saw. She saw him die on the cross, weeping at his feet, and then she saw him again alive from the dead. Ah, hallelujah. Because she believed God, because she believed God, she was the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ. She believed God. Her question was not an unbelief or into doubt. It was, how shall we fulfill this? Let me at it. Let me at the things of the will of God. Show me what to do, Father. Let my questions be from a heart that has a desire to fulfill your will and your word, no matter how outlandish they may seem, no matter how impossible they may be, no matter what men think about it. Help us to stay steadfast in the word and the will of God, that it shall be according to his word, and that we are the vessels of his mighty power. Thank you, Lord. Abraham, it says of him in Romans chapter 4 and verse 20, he staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, was strong in faith, giving glory to God. When they sat down with him in front of his tent, and they fellowshipped with him and said that Sarah would bring forth, Sarah laughed in the tent. And the Lord said, why does Sarah laugh? She denied laughing, but he said, "You did laugh. You did laugh." And he went on to say, "Would it be fulfilled?" Abraham did not stagger at that. He had heard from the Lord. The Lord shared with him on what he was about to do with Sodom and Gomorrah. He intercessed with the Lord for Lot's sake, and Lot was delivered. Oh, my friend, the friend of God staggered not at the promise of God. How could he have known just minutes before that the Lord would appear with his angels with him and speak to him face to face and say that Sarah have a child and I'm going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah? How could he have known that? Something just totally outlandish. The archaeologists that have studied that valley said there could have been as many as 1 million people living in that valley, and they were all swept away with fire and brimstone. Even today, you can go there and see how the fire came from the east and swept toward the west, that everything east-facing is melted. The bluffs, the rocks, everything around had just been burnt down. That's because the wrath of God fell on them. How could something like that happen that had never happened before? Abraham didn't stagger at it. He went right ahead, and he intercessed before God for his nephew Lot, and they were brought out, and praise the good Lord, Abraham saw that promise fulfilled. When God asked him to take Isaac up on top of the mountain and offer him as a sacrifice, he didn't stagger. He carried him up that hillside, that wood in Isaac's hand, knife in the father's hand, and as he got up there just about to slay Isaac, he said, "See not to harm not the child." And there was a ram hung in the thicket. He offered the ram as the sacrifice, and Isaac lived. He was considered the friend of God. Thank you, Jesus. That's because in his heart he did not have unbelief, but he had faith. Let us purge that old leaven, and let us be made with that new leaven. The Spirit of God brings pure faith. Let us be filled with the Spirit of God, that we may believe God, that whatsoever he would say, it shall be done in our midst. We're the church of the living God. There may not be many of us left, but I've got news that one with God is the majority. And if one man will prevail with God, we can see a worldwide revival. We can see it turning from the wickedness that's going on. We can see a change in our children and our grandchildren. We can see this generation turned around. And let us hold fast to the very promise of God that says that all things are possible with God. All things are possible to him that believeth, is what Jesus said. Jesus said, "If you ask anything in my name, I will do it, that the Father be glorified in the Son." We don't ask for things to happen that we may show others that we have mighty power with God, or mighty prayer, or mighty faith. We ask these things humbly before God, that he would be glorified, that the children of God would be sanctified, that the people round about us would be justified, delivered from the wickedness of sin that's holding them captive in blindness upon them. We live in an age when it's so insane around about us that there's no peace. Everything's flipped upside down. I can't believe we live in a time when men don't want to confess the difference between a man and a woman. I cannot believe we live in this time, but I assure you the confusion of the enemy can be broken, and a right mind can be put into place by born again salvation through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let God arise, and his enemies will be scattered. Let God arise, and his enemies will be scattered. If we will yield to him, the will of God be done inside of us, we can see a move in this generation like never conceived in the hearts of men. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We've got a God that could do these things. I want to hold fast to that promise tonight. I want to ask you, my friend, look at this. Looking at this, Zechariah, what kind of Christian are you? Are you a Zechariah Christian living a great life before God? Definitely justified on your way to heaven. But that mighty thing that you've believed to pray for all your life, thinking that you will receive it from God, do you really believe it? When it come to that moment, no longer could Zechariah say, "I believe." His question was, "Wherewith In other words, here stands the angel Gabriel, and he doesn't believe. The word came from the very throne of God, the messenger that's before God's face continually, delivered it in person to Zechariah, and he didn't believe. My, God help us. God help us not to be like that. God deliver us. Mary, though, the little virgin, there, seemingly unknown, espoused to a man who's just a carpenter. When the angel come from the throne room with the greatest news ever delivered to the universes or to all mankind, that holy thing that is to be born inside of her shall deliver her people. She said, how shall I know this? That heart was saying, what do I do? Oh, this is going to happen, but what do I do? How can I work? How can I do this? Show me. Tell me. He did tell her. The power of the highest shall overshadow you. And he did overshadow it. She went to visit her cousin Elizabeth, who was then 6 months pregnant when she come through that door, being pregnant with the Lord Jesus Christ. John leaped in his mother's womb, and she was filled with the Holy Ghost and did prophesy, recognizing that the Lord was within Mary. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. Here we have this miracle of miracles, that a child will be born and his father is God Almighty and not man. Human blood, sinful blood, was not what was in the Lord Jesus, but God's blood through the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. What a miracle. What a miracle. Yes, we will question God. But let us not question God in unbelief. Let us question God with hearts that say, what shall I do, Lord? How shall this be? Guide me, O Father. Guide me to the right way. Guide me to the next step. Send me deeper in you. Help me, O Father, to do your will. I'd like to ask you tonight, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? If you don't know him, now's the time. Today's the day of salvation. Tomorrow's not promised. You're not guaranteed another sunrise. If you don't know him, I want you to call on him. Call on him. Ask him to forgive you. Ask him to forgive you. If you're backslid away from God, just like the prodigal, I want you to get up, remember your father's house, and start that journey back home. Repent of the things that you've done wrong. Come back to him. Stop it. Deliver yourself from the wickedness that's overcome you and come on back. Saint of God, if you're not filled with the Holy Ghost, I'd ask you to search for it, seek for it, endlessly seek for it. It's the next step after the born again salvation, and after you get the baptism, the next step is to get baptized every day. Every day be refilled with this Holy Ghost. Oh, glory. He'll transform you into the image of Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Father, any hearing my voice, any lost person, let them call on you right now. Any backslider, let them come to you. Any not filled with the Spirit of God, let them yearn for it until they are filled. All that are filled with the Spirit of God, put that spirit of prayer inside of them. That endless desire, a burning faith, the power of God alive inside of them. And quicken them, O Father, to do your will continually. In Jesus' name I pray. If you've heard this word tonight, I'd exhort you to get a hold of this ministry. Encourage them. Let them know what's happened to you. Let them know you appreciate these messages. And reach out. Go to church. Get baptized in water. Find a Holy Ghost-filled church. Find a church that preaches the Word of God and stay with it. Hold fast to it. In the mighty name of Jesus, may the Lord bless you. Amen.